Thank you. It's my joy to be here and to share fellowship with you and to be able to explain something from God's Word. There was a man who was convinced his wife was deaf. So he went to the doctor and he said to the doctor, "I think my wife is deaf, doctor. What can I do?" And the doctor said, "Well, let's find out whether she is deaf." So while she was cooking the dinner, he went up into the bedroom and shouted out, "What's for dinner?" He got no reply. He wandered out onto the landing and said again, "What's for dinner?" No reply. He walked downstairs to the front door, shouted out to his wife, "What's for dinner?" No reply. He walked to the kitchen door and said, "What's for dinner?" No reply. He walked up to her ear and said, "What's for dinner?" And she said, "For the fifth time, chicken." If you didn't get that joke, sleep on. Just wait for the second service. You may get it by the time the second service. Because that's all about listening. Before I get into what I want to share, I just want to share some books that Parry has brought with us. We're with OM. And there's a book called Jesus, The Path to Human Flourishing, The Gospel for the Cultural Chinese, which is available at the back, written by a friend of mine called I Ching. And then a book by George Voa, who is my ex-boss, great guy, American, big personality. And he's written a book called Hunger for Reality, How to Escape from Spiritual Pretense and Double Living. A really helpful book. And then a really, really, really helpful book is one by me called Wisdom Road. And some of what I'm going to teach this morning is going to come out of this this particular book, Making Decisions in Company with God. So, Lord, help us as we think about discernment. Lead us and guide us by the power of your Spirit, that we may be full of light this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to share some thoughts with you this morning from this passage in Matthew chapter 7 around how to become a discerning person. I love what the band have just done. They played us Star Wars. If you've watched any of those films, you know that those guys needed a lot of discernment. Indiana Jones, I don't know how long he's been around, but it feels like about 100 years. But in all of his movies, he's needed a lot of discernment. And if we are going to live well, we will need to encounter wisdom and discernment. We will have to see things clearly in an unclear world. We'll need to pay attention to things that we've not paid attention to. Many years ago, I was 22 years old. And I said to my brother, I'm going to leave my church and I'm going to join a group called Operation Mobilization. He's not a Christian. And he said to me, "What do they do?" And I said, "Well, they go around the world preaching the gospel and planting churches and encouraging people and trying to transform societies." And then he said, "Great. How much do they pay you to do this?" I said, "Well, it doesn't quite work like that. What happens is that people give money to the organization or give it to me It goes into the organization. They take 10% of it, and then they give it back to me. He said, what sort of organization is this? What sort of deal is this? That you get money and then they take 10% and then you work for them and get 90% back. And he said to me, you are about to make a foolish decision. You should be focusing on money. You should be focusing on building your career. But my decision was to join OM. Here we are many years later. And what my brother called a foolish decision was actually a great decision. Certainly for me. Transformed my life and has opened up so many doors throughout all the years. However, my decision making has not always been so good. I was pastoring for a while, a few years ago. Again, many years ago. And there was a gifted member of the church who was a widower. He smiled a lot. He was very happy. He'd suffered heavy loss in his family. He had leadership potential. And I needed somebody with leadership potential to come and work with me. And we appointed him as a lay temporary pastor. And as soon as he got the job, he changed from my perspective. As soon as he got power, he changed into some other person. I've heard brides say that the man that walked into the church to meet them at the front was different to the man who walked out of the church with them. Because somehow the relationship had changed. And I found myself in a terrible situation. Knew I'd made a big mistake, appointed the wrong person to the wrong place. And within 3 months, I had to say to the church, sorry, church, I've made a big mistake. I've made a bad decision. And we need to exit this. And it all got very complicated. I found out that he was actually building a relationship with the deacon's wife, which I didn't know about. But I made a terrible decision. A decision without discernment, a decision without wisdom, not paying attention to the right things. So our lives are made up of these sorts of decisions. Some of them go swimmingly well. Others of them, we make those decisions. And we're desperately trying to get out of those decisions in one way or other. That's why the Boys Brigade and the Girls Brigade is such a great organization, because at least they teach you what you need to pay attention to in making a great decision. So this morning, I want to lead you a bit through this text and ask the question, what does it mean to make a discerning decision? What's Jesus telling us to pay attention to? So how do you become a discerning person? What do I mean by discernment or being discerning? What I mean is that you have the ability to separate. You have the ability to sift. You've got the ability to distinguish, the ability to weigh something and try and find out whether it's real or whether it's false. That you've got the ability to notice what's going on around you so that you'll be able to live your life to the maximum glory of God. That's what I mean when I mean discernment. It's got a huge biblical history. King Solomon prays for himself. In 1 Kings 3, he says, "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong." Paul in Philippians says, "And this is my prayer, that you may, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depths of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So this subject of discernment is critical material scripturally. It's critical material for us if we're going to be able to live our lives well. It is the most precious gift. If somebody offers you 20,000 ringgit today and says, do you want discernment or 20,000 ringgit, which one should you choose? Pardon? Pardon? Say to them, keep your money. Keep your money. Because without discernment, you will lose that money very quickly. So this is the most precious gift. And if you have it working in your life, albeit not perfectly, lots of pain can be avoided. A wonderful life can be encountered. You can live well with yourself and you can live well with others. So what's Jesus saying as he leads us through some of this? So I want to give you four foundations of a discerning life out of this text. The first one is this: follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Very simply, if you're going to develop a life of wisdom and a life of discernment, it will be because you follow him. It says in 7:24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. I am 6'4", and I was a great surprise to my mother. She was 5'2". I think I was bigger than her as soon as I got out of the womb, but that's another story. But one of the things that's happened to me because I'm tall is because I've been drawn to basketball as a sport. And I played a lot of basketball over the years. And one game I was playing for my school many years ago. And as I'm, there's certain times in basketball when you play a certain type of defense. So the other team get the ball. And then you play man-to-man marking. Which means that your job is to attach yourself to one man and to make sure that man does not get the ball. That's the idea. So I'm doing this. The other team's got the ball. I've attached myself to a man. I'm running around after him. But somehow, he's always getting the ball. So I'm not doing my job well. And so my coach stops me at a break and says, Viv, you're not doing this well. I said, so what do I do? He said, what you are doing is that you are watching this guy's shoulders. Where in fact, if you want to pay attention to him and where he's going to go, you need to watch his hips. I said, watch his hips? He said, watch his hips. Because in sport, you can fake with your shoulders, but you will always go in the direction of your hips. I still don't understand it, but that was his point. So there I was. As soon as the other team got the ball, I attached myself to a man, and I watched his hips. Really weird. Just looking at this man's groin. Until we got the ball. But he was saying to me, pay attention to the right things. Don't be deceived. Pay attention to the right things. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, pay attention to the right things. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon a rock. There's two things there. Hearing his word and doing his word. Hearing To follow means to hear. And to follow means to do. And our great deception is we hear. We become experts at hearing. We can explain what Calvin said. We can explain the history of the church and the history of Scripture. We can speak because we hear. But Jesus is saying here, if you're going to follow me, it's to do with what you do, not what you hear. And this is a great deception, that you think you can grow as a Christian because you hear and you hear and you hear. When in reality, the way you develop as a Christian is certainly by hearing, but you grow by doing. Some of you may be aware of Eric Liddell, who the story of Chariots of Fire. He was a runner and he wouldn't run in the Olympic Games because his event was on the Sabbath day and he had certain religious ideas around what Sabbath day meant. And his family said to him, run on this day. And he said, no, I'm not going to run. But one of the great lines that comes out of Eric Liddell's life, when people asked him, why are you running when you really, God's called you to be a missionary? He said this, God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. God has made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. In other words, it's not enough just to get the gift, just to receive it. If you are a runner, you're meant to run. You do that with your body. It gets embodied. It can't just remain an idea. And that's what happens in our Christian lives. We are called, as Jesus explains here, not just to hear these words, but to put these words into practice, to move them into the reality of normal life. I've got a friend called Alice. It's not a real name, but I'll call her Alice for now. She is a 45-year-old mother of four in London. She is a great woman, married to a great man. However, their marriage is a little bit stormy. It gets loud. And one night, as they were going to bed, they fell out. And he said to her, I'm not sleeping with you tonight. I'm going to take my sleeping bag and sleep on the settee, which is what he did. He wouldn't sleep with his wife, got his sleeping bag, got on the settee, and got in it, and then went to sleep. Alice said to herself, I'm not going to put up with this. So she went downstairs and she slept next to him on the couch. Now he was angry before. And now he felt the body of his wife next to him and he was even more angry. So he got up, went into the spare bedroom, got into the spare bed, and within about 5 minutes, suddenly he felt his wife next to him again. And he was even a bit more angry. But he knew, now I've got to deal with this. She is not going to let me go. And Alice was practicing a scripture when she was doing that. Can you think of what scripture that she was practicing? Anybody? What about, do not let the sun go down on your wrath? That's what she was practicing. She was saying to herself and to her husband, we're angry. It's not going well. But I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath. If it takes to 3:30 in the morning, we're going to get this sorted. In other words, it's to do with doing. It's to do with what you practice, not just what you think. It's not a head game. Christianity is not a head game. It's a life game. It's living this through your life. So Jesus is really saying, hear my words, put them into practice. Second thing, anticipate all conditions. It says the rain came down and the streams rose. The winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had found its foundations on the rock. And here's a key thing around discernment and wisdom. Anticipate all conditions. Anticipate in your life that you can experience almost anything. Anything is possible. I haven't got the time to tell you my own story of coming to faith through foster parents and all the wonderful things and complications that that brought. But the truth is that if you're going to develop discernment, you will need to anticipate all conditions in your life. In this story, there is house building going on. There's a wise man building a house. There's a foolish man building a house. And it's all in preparation for something. It's in preparation for bad weather. It's in preparation. That's why you build your house primarily. It's not so you can listen to your stereo system. That's secondary. The primary thing is keeping out the bad weather. And you can anticipate in your life rain, storm, wind, as well as sunshine and glory and light and wonderful things. We live in a world of various conditions. At some point, the rain is going to come. At some point, the storm is going to hit. I wrote a book called Second Choice, which we don't have copies of here, which is about Daniel. Daniel wants to live in Jerusalem, and he ends up living in Babylon. It's second choice. He doesn't want to be there, but that's where he ends up. And you may think, well, God, what I want from you is to deliver me the very best. Give me that job. Give me that man. Give me that woman. Give me that house. And in one way or other, he says no. He gives you something else. He gives you another set of conditions. And it can make you really, really angry. It can make you cynical. It can make you feel, I'm going to give this up. Who is God not to deliver to me the best life? And the answer is, he is God. He leads you through all sorts of conditions that are going to test you and try you and develop you and grow you. And Scripture is full of people whose lives were engaged in this sort of activity. Let me just go through a few of them. Abraham. Abraham finds himself called of God, led into the desert. Pioneer. But tough life, absolutely. Joseph, blessed child, lovely coat. The coat was no substitute for what he was about to go through. And he went through all of the twists and turns of Egypt before God brought him to where he wanted him to be. Sarah, in her childlessness, blessed of God, but in the end, childless until God does something really special. Peter comes to faith and then suddenly realizes this gospel is not just for Gentiles, it's also for Jews. And he has to face the reality that he's a Jew. It's not just for Jews, it's also for Gentiles. And he has to realize that now he has to go on this journey from being a Jew to opening up his heart to Gentiles. Big journey with all sorts of different conditions. Paul, right in the middle of all of what he was going through, God breaks through and says about him that I will teach him basically how to be an apostle of suffering. So there are all these realities of our lives. And if you're going to be able to discern your life, it will be because, as Jesus warns us, you'll be ready for the rain. You'll be ready for the bad weather. You will construct your life house in a way that you are ready for the good times and you're ready for the difficult times. One of the church fathers said this, and I love this, so pay attention. He says this, that freedom is where people no longer desire health more than sickness, wealth more than poverty, a long life more than a short life, honor more than dishonor. But instead, they desire what brings them closer to the end for which they are created. Instead, they desire what brings them closer to the end for which they have been created. In other words, whatever the circumstances of your life, the idea is, God, may your desires for me be lived out. May I be everything you've called me to be. May I live out the end for which I've been created. So, follow Jesus. Anticipate all conditions. It's a bit confused there. But that says, track your heart. Keep track with your heart. If you're going to become a discerning person, you will need to pay attention to your heart. And now I want to put focus on the guy who's the foolish guy who built his house upon the sand. In 7 verse 26, he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. Why would you build your house on sand? Why would you do that? What possesses your heart and your head to build your life on sand? Maybe because it's quicker. Maybe because you want to build it quick and sell it as fast as you can to a passing idiot. Maybe you're not bothered about research. Maybe you just focus on image. And you want people to admire your house. And everybody goes, oh, what a wonderful house. Until the weather changes and then they laugh at you because the house was built on sand and the house collapsed. Maybe you are just insecure. Maybe you're just dumb. And you don't know what you're doing. That's entirely possible, which is one of the reasons why I'm speaking this morning. To maybe help resolve dumbness. To be able to develop discernment, you need to understand where your treasure is. Where's your treasure? In the innermost part of your heart, in your gut, where is your treasure? What's really pulling you along? Paul said this, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. That's the great apostle. He's saying, there's stuff going on in my heart, and I don't quite understand it. But if you are going to live a discerning life, you will need to become familiar with your own motivations, familiar with your own heart, even your darker instincts, even the bits you really don't like, even those selfish bits. I flew here last night or yesterday, I'm not quite sure, but I know I flew here. And flying for me is always a little bit of a dark experience. Because when I'm going down the tube to get on the flight, my goal is, can I turn left on the plane? Or do I have to turn right? And the answer is, right. Because that's where economy class is. And left is business class. And first class. So I always have a bit of darkness in my heart when I'm praying, Lord, you've given me a big, long body. Why do I have such a small little seat? How come? And I'm living through these sorts of emotions. Where's your treasure? If you know where your treasure is, if you are sufficiently aware of yourself that you know where your treasure is, you'll find your heart there. If you've lost your heart, find out where your treasure is. And discover your heart. Men, over 30, maybe getting a bit cynical. You've learned the ways of the world, your heart's got hard, you're a tough, resilient man, and you maybe can think well, but your feeling life has disappeared. Track your heart. Otherwise, you end up building your life on sand rather than the rock. You enter into zones of foolishness that you think are maybe to do with the young, but really they're to do with all of us. Quickly moving on. There's another one which isn't there. It's got jet lag. Live inside out. Live inside out. This man is building a house. A house is a part of a community. A house is not just an individual thing. It's part of a community. And he's building this house to build a community. He's really saying, I'm building this house. But I realize as I'm building this house is not primarily about me. This house is about the community. It's about me living inside out, not outside in. And if you want to develop a discerning life, it will be because you learn how to live inside out and not outside in. I'm with Operation Mobilization. It's a big mission around the world. This is one of our messages. Live inside out, not outside in. In other words, don't be a consumer. Don't just think that the world's there to be sucked up and drawn into your own life. That rather, they live in a world where you build your house on the rock. You build your house into a community. You're not going to live your life like an ego drama. Do you know what I mean by that? The whole of life is a drama from beginning to end. And you can live your life in an ego drama. In other words, me, ego, it's all about me. So my life is all about me. I'm living my ego drama. Rather, one theologian that I like says we need to be living a theodrama. Theo means God. A God drama. that we're not living ego drama, but theo drama, that we're living this life that we give before God. We live our lives inside out. So follow Jesus, anticipate all conditions, track your heart, live inside out if you want a discerning life. Have I got 2 minutes more? I'm going to make a lot of points in 2 minutes. Maybe. Can you click it? Framework for discernment. Very briefly, number one, thank you, next point. There are authentic and unauthentic promptings of the Spirit. If you're going to live this practically, be aware that you will need to practice discernment. There are certain things that are of God and not of God, and you need to become familiar with what's of God and what's not of God in some way or other. There are false things and there are authentic things. Number two, be true to Scripture. If you're going to develop a discerning life, you will need to know Scripture. You will need to get Scripture into your heart and into your head. You'll need to know the story, the big story, and live your life in the middle of that big story and not ignore any part of Scripture. You will need to become familiar with the biblical story and grow in it and develop it. You'll need to pay attention to what is the fruit. If somebody suggests something to you, or some movement comes in your direction, or some prophecy comes to speak to you, what's the fruit of it? What is does it look like, feel like, love? Where does 1 Corinthians 13 fit into what's coming towards me? Inner authority. Is there a sense of Holy Spirit presence in the decision I'm about to make, in the discernment I'm about to exercise? Is it here that there is a sense of God and His authority, which doesn't mean you become very dogmatic, but it means you become humble. You get humility as the Spirit moves in you and on you. Unity in the church, the thing you're trying to discern, even if it's your own life, does it bring unity to the church? Does it bring unity in the family? Glory of God. Does the life I'm living and the thing I'm trying to discern my life around, does it bring glory to God or does it not? Is it theodrama or ego drama? And then lastly, is there integrity in the process of discernment? And by that I mean that you're not afraid to look at the alternatives. That you're not afraid of somebody else speaking into your life. That you're not running from Scripture because it speaks in a way in which you don't want it to speak to you. You're not suppressing your emotional life. You're living your feeling life in the middle of your head life as you pay attention to what's going on around. So my brothers and sisters, for what it's worth, some thoughts on living a discerning life. It's more precious than gold. It's more precious than fame. Discernment is richer, will make you more of a millionaire than anything else I know. And it's Jesus who teaches us the way. Let's pray. Lord, prevent us from being fools. Prevent us from fantasies. Prevent us from building our lives on sand. May we build on you. Be rooted in your story. save us from self-indulgence. Cause us to live in this big theodrama, which is bigger than Star Wars and bigger than Indiana Jones. In Jesus' name, amen.